Thank you for listening to this lesson presented by Reverend Millage Mosby. We affirm that this lesson has inspired and uplifted you and given you practical tools you can use to divinely guide you in every aspect of your life. We give thanks that as a listener of our online Sunday lessons, you are open to donating to support this web ministry. Please click on the donate button and follow your inner guidance. Thank you. And we continue to hold you in the light.
So we're continuing with this idea of the psychology in the parables. And for those, you know, who may be joining us for the first time or haven't heard us speak before, this whole idea has to do with opening our consciousness to a whole different space, a whole different level. It's not about trying to understand what is being taught at the level that we're at, but to allow what's being taught to move us into another level. Did that make sense? Okay. You know, if you think about, you know, it's safe probably to say that most of our religious practices have been a process or an outer process. You know, rituals and just looking at sort of the whole outer dynamics that happen in our lives. You know, and it says in one of the books I'm reading, we live by our outer technology rather than our inner technology, okay? And let me define what that means. This source I'm reading says, outer technology is the dominant paradigm in which we live. It is a path of external technology engineered outside of our bodies as extensions of ourselves interacting with the world around us. This path represents our cultural response to the challenges in our life. Causes of life events are found out there in the world. So you know how it is? Something's going on with me. It's because of what's happening out there. We even blame each other. Well, I feel this way because of what you said or what you did or what's on the news. As Mary Madden Morrissey says, CNN stands for constantly negative news. You know, and I feel bad because of that news. You know, so it's always this outer dynamic that we're responding to. And he goes on to say, therefore, solutions are engineered out there, discounting the interplay between us and our world. It's how can I fix it out there, not how can I fix it in here. He continues on by, inner technology is remembered rather than engineered. It's sort of like, you know, all the stuff that we're teaching and learning here, I'm not teaching you anything. What you are doing is you are beginning to remember your own inner dynamic, okay? And he says, inner technology is expressed within us simply through the way we live life. When you choose to walk the path of inner technology, you begin to remember that your body is a sacred union between the atomic expression of Mother Earth and the electrical magnetic expression of our Heavenly Father, creating within you the potential for a powerful force. How, you ask, do I activate and regulate this force? The force of potential within you is activated and regulated through the manner in which you choose to conduct your life. Simply is activated and regulated by your consciousness. Now I want to read a part of that again and give you an example. It says, when you choose to walk the path of inner technology, you begin to remember that your body is a sacred union between the atomic expression of Mother Earth and the electrical magnetic expression of our Heavenly Father, creating within you the potential for a powerful force. Okay, so the story is, my daughter calls me up and says that Kobe was supposed to come home for, you know, dinner, the regular time, but he calls up and says, I'm going to be late because I just found out, my son-in-law Kobe is the executive vice president of Red Cross Worldwide. So he said, I just found out that I have a science and health meeting, dinner I have to go to. So he goes to the dinner, and about 2 days later, he says to my daughter, you know, when I was talking with Deepak Chopra, so my daughter goes, wait a minute. When you were talking with Deepak Chopra? He goes, yeah, he was at the table, the dinner I was at the other night. He goes, and you're just mentioning this? You know, that's like you were talking to Oprah. But anyway, they were in a car phone because they're down in Texas. So I said, so Kobe, did you know who Deepak was? He said, yeah, I knew who he was. You know, Kobe is very low key, right? And I knew who he was. I just, you know. So anyway, I said, well, what was he talking about? He says, well, he was saying a lot of really powerful things, but one thing he asked was, did anybody at the table experience jet lag? And, you know, Kobe's job is he literally within a week is in China, Germany. I mean, he's all over the world. And so he said, yeah, I'm always experiencing jet lag. He says the reason why you get jet lag is because your biological clock is attuned to where your location in the earth is, to where you normally are. When you fly to a totally different location, your biological clock is not vibrating at the same vibration of that place that you're in. He says, so when you get there, take your shoes off and walk out on the ground, rubbing your feet in the ground for about 15, 20 minutes until your biological clock attunes itself to where you are. Isn't that deep? Okay, so that goes along with the idea that your body is a sacred union between the atomic expression of Mother Earth. You always have to feel that vibration, that connectedness. That's a, would you imagine? Oh, the other day when I was talking with Deepak Chopra, and you know, they always ask me to go to these political dinners and things like that, and I don't like leaving the house. I said, but if you called me and told me Deepak was going to be there, I would have left the house. So, but anyway, it's possible that we mainly live by our outer technology because we were never given the tools or the understanding of how to live from our inner technology, okay? So when you think about inner technology from a scripture standpoint, you know, Jesus is on a ship, there's a storm going on, and he and the disciples are all upset, but he's sleeping. And they wake him up and said, Lord, we're gonna perish. And he simply says, be still, and the waters quiet down. That's living from your inner technology. When you know how to connect with what is going on in life, okay? So inner technology is what is created out of our continuous practice of contemplating the ways of spirit. Most of what we received from church was similar to what we received from our parents, which is do as I say because I said it and don't ask any questions, right? Well, that's what a lot of our religious experience has been. So for most of us, the religion we belong to did not allow us to ask questions. So without the understanding of how to integrate the spiritual ideas we were hearing in a way that could arouse or provoke the true inner transformation, we just sort of created a religious mask that we masqueraded behind, saying that I am whatever. Okay. Now, outer technology was fabricated to hide the fact that our inner technology, our awareness of our true spiritual beingness, was grossly undeveloped. So we wear this outer mask that says that, you know, I am this. And it's really mostly in the mask, but it's not really what? In the dynamics of our being, okay? So, you know, in scripture, it's kind of you know, the religious practice similar to the Pharisees. Now, Jesus was always getting on the Pharisees, right? And if you look in the Metaphysical Bible Dictionary, it describes the Pharisees as symbolic of people who have become religiously unbalanced because they give undue attention to the outer forms of religious rites and literal interpretation of scripture. And this type of practice causes people to lose sight of the deeper inner truths that go beyond our outer rituals and literal interpretation of scripture. And if you hear last week, we talked a lot about the idea of literal versus metaphysical interpretation. So remember we said last week that the deeper meaning in the parables taught by Jesus has actually a sevenfold meaning, the depths of sevenfold. We mostly have gotten caught at the level of the first level of meaning. Just like when we did the 6 weeks on each line of the 23rd Psalm. You know, basically we kind of had an understanding of the 23rd Psalm, but then we went into a deeper understanding. And still, even over those 6 weeks, we probably just went into level two. Which causes a lot of you going to say, well, are we going to do level three? And when we get into four and five, but you know, we only can get at the level in which we are what? Ready to deal with, okay? So the Pharisees go through the outer motion of living a spiritual life, but the living substance, which is the underlying divine reality of all things, is not present in that outer expression. Being able to consciously live in the presence of the living substance comes out of the development of our inner technology. Now, the simple, Paul said, in whom we live and breathe and have our being. So intellectually, we understand that, but it's understanding that this this unified field, as quantum physicists would call it, this unified field that we live in is a living substance, and it's constantly responding to what? Consciousness. Okay? And again, that's what quantum physics is telling us, that we're in this living substance that they call the unified field. We call it God, but it's all the same thing. And it's constantly taking on shape and form according to the consciousness of the individuals or the collective individual. Okay? So a sample of what it feels like to live in the living substance is it is like having a feeling of unwavering faith in the power and presence of God, no matter what is happening in your life. No matter what, you have this deep feeling that you are living in the living substance, and it does not matter what's happening out here. So the inner technology, the feeling nature, connecting with spirit, is where you want to come from, no matter what is happening in the outer technology, what is happening in the outer realm, okay? So this is living in the living substance that God is. It is allowing yourself to become consumed by compassion no matter what others are doing. This is living in the living substance that God is. I saw three heads shaking. Okay, all right. So, yes, easier said than done, right? Stuff happens, it's easier said than done. But unless you are doing it every single moment, you can't get to that space where it's easier said than done. Okay, mystics do it easily. But what did they have to pay? I mean, how much did they have to put into it to get to that place, right? You get in your car now, you turn on the thing, you drive, you don't even think about it. But can you remember the first time you got behind the wheel of a car? You see what I'm saying? Okay, you've got to put energy and practice and thinking into it. You have to be able to visualize yourself doing it. And that's what we're working a lot with in the Prosperity Plus classes. How do I get my whole being into this idea that God is that substance in which I live and breathe and have my being? So yes, it's easier said than done, but however, the central idea in the Bible is about rebirth or regeneration that must occur within each one of us in order for us to awaken to our true reality. That being that we are living in the living substance that God is, okay? So we are the fish in the ocean. I always like going back to that experience, that's a good experience, right? We're the fish in the ocean. You know, we live and breathe and have our being in the ocean. We look at a fish and say, well, I can understand that. But we have to understand it's the same thing with us. We live and breathe and have our being in that which God is. So rebirth is a gradual result of our conscious effort to activate our inner technology by using our life experiences as mechanisms for awakening. Did everybody catch that? So stuff happens. And that stuff that happened is a mechanism for you to use to awaken to a higher level of consciousness. So when stuff happens, especially when stuff happens, it's really challenging. Don't try to deal with the stuff at the level that you are. The stuff is happening to cause you to move to a higher level. When you're at a higher level, you can look down at that stuff and deal with it. But a lot of times what will happen, we let the stuff knock us down another level. Now we're looking up at it trying to deal with it. You can't do that. Okay, so that's what the process is about. So life experiences, no matter what they are, think of them as mechanisms. There are things that are given to us, drawn to us by our soul as an exercise to help us to move to a higher level of consciousness. Okay, so it's only through rebirth and awakening, the rebirth and awakening of our inner technology, that we'll be able to truly understand the psychology and the parables taught by Jesus. So rebirth occurs through self-evolution, and self-evolution occurs when we consciously choose to grow from our experiences. So how do I evolve? I evolve by meeting what happens in my life from a higher level of consciousness. How do you do that? When stuff happens, don't react to the stuff, because that reaction will cause you to stay at the level or drop to a lower level. That makes sense? So it's like stuff happens, and you have to just take time to observe. Self-observation without condemnation. You're just being in that space, okay? Our spiritual goal is to align ourselves with truth. All right, so let me say this again. So self-evolution occurs when we constantly choose to grow from our experiences rather than being captivated or incapacitated by the experience. Right? Because we become captivated and then we want to share it with everybody. All right? And that sharing just keeps you in that space. All right? Or we become incapacitated by it, but we just want to pull the covers over our head and not have to deal with it. Okay? So don't let those are the things we don't want to happen. Okay? So our spiritual goal is to align ourselves with truth and then remain in alignment with truth as we go about living our lives. So even if you are out in traffic and somebody runs their car into your car, take a deep breath and remain in that consciousness of spirit. Okay? However, our thoughts and actions will not be in alignment with truth if we have not yet developed the depth of understanding, the depth of faith, and the depth of compassion to recognize and embrace the truth that is present in every situation, relationship, and affair. And let me say it again. You must develop the depth of understanding, the depth of faith, and the depth of compassion to recognize and embrace the truth that is present in every situation in our life, relationship, and affairs. Okay? How do you develop that depth? Every single moment of your life, you are working on that. Okay? And it's not until we learn how to allow unbridled love and compassion to explode from the depths of our beings right during life's most troubling situations that we'll be able to demonstrate that we recognize and embrace the living substance that is present in every single situation. You must always be consciously aware. So you have to live life awake, as I tell my students, you know, these 18 and 19 year olds. You have to be awake, all right, all the time. Notice one of my students, the one that wanted to know what the next level of consciousness was. Remember that one? Okay, when I told that story, and I looked at him, I says, Darnell, what's going on? It was after class. I said, come up here. So what's going on? He said, you know, and these kids are going through a lot of stuff. He says, I've got four kids. I'm on probation from prison, right? And I've got all this stuff going on in my life. And he goes, no matter what, I feel tired all the time. I'm just emotionally distraught. And, you know, and we talked for a moment. And I shared these ideas with him. You know, and he said, you know, Ms. Moore, you mentioned about meditation. I said, I can't meditate. I said, what do you love doing? He said, I love to write music. I said, then in those moments when you feel completely overwhelmed, take some time, go away for a while, and write some music. And he goes, wow, I get it, you know. But you got to be conscious of what's going on around you. Everybody has got stuff happening. You know, and we're living in this living substance. So you almost become like a tuning fork where you can feel the vibrations around you and you are keeping yourself vibrating at a higher level so that when people come into your space, you automatically raise their vibration by them being in your space. That's where you want to be, all right? It's not, you don't have to say anything. It's just a beingness that we want to move into, okay? So this idea of, you know, understanding that process, again, you know, it's understand, we affirm that there is a power and presence in my life and affairs, God the good, omnipotent, okay? If you truly believe this, then we would know love instead of fear. We would know peace instead of anger. We would know abundance instead of lack. We would know harmony and order right in the midst of disharmony and disorder, right? We say, there's only one power and one presence active in my life and affairs, God, the good, omnipotent. So if you do that, but then you find yourself falling into fear, falling into anger, falling into lack, falling into disharmony, we are being incongruent. No, I said we. I don't want to say you, because we are being incongruent when we're not acting from those particular mindsets, okay? So the whole Bible from beginning to end is a compilation of psychological documents specifically designed to show us how to move towards that inner technology, this idea of being spiritually illuminated. And that's what we're working for. Because that state of consciousness, it knows, recognizes, and embraces the truth in all circumstances and in all situations. So, the central idea in the Bible is about the inner transformation that must occur before true, lasting outer change is possible. If I don't change in here, I'm not going to be able to demonstrate it out here. It has to be true, lasting change. And again, it is a statement you have heard me say before, so much, many times before, that what? Involution must occur before what? Evolution. Okay? And Dr. Maurice Nicole, you've heard me mention him before, Dr. Maurice Nicole, McGurdjieff and Uspensky, you know, their original works are too dense to read, so Dr. Maurice Nicole, if you want to know their works, read his book. One of his books is called A New Man. He says it's a central idea in the Gospels, seeks to make us aware that internally we are a seed capable of infinite growth. However, in our present state of mind, we are unfinished and incomplete. Just as it is within a seed, our inner technology is complete. You with me? Our inner technology is complete, but our awareness of our inner technology and our ability to live and grow from our inner technology is incomplete. So in the creation stories in the very first part of the Bible, in Genesis, it says, and God saw all that he did, and it was good. And it was what? Done. So God has done all that God is going to do. Okay? That's our inner technology. We were born with it, innate within our being. Okay? But what we need to work on is our awareness of that inner technology and how to use it and bring it out into our life experience. So Jesus sought to show us the way to completion, or what he called rebirth, what Charles Fillmore calls a regeneration. Now listen carefully. The regeneration being the transformation that takes place from bringing all the forces of mind and body to the support of the Christ ideal, that I am the eachness of the allness, the individual expression of God, living in the living substance that God is. So all of my thinking has to be brought to that idea that I am the eachness of the allness. And because I am the eachness of the allness, I am heir to all that God is. With me? Okay? And so this thing is going on, whatever, my life, within my body, with whatever, but I have to keep my mind focused on that I am tapped into the universal infinite potentiality that God is, and I need to be aware of letting that now come into my life experience. Okay? And that's a conscious, constant process that you always have to be working on. And in John 14:6, we read that Jesus taught, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. Jesus is simply saying, if you could remember what I remember, if you could remember your divine inner technology, you would truly know God. Okay? And every experience we have has embedded within that experience the key to further development of our inner technology, to the further development of our ability to know God. I've said that, what, maybe four times so far in this one talk. Every experience is embedded within it the ability to tap into more of our inner technology and bring that into expression in whatever is happening in our lives. It's almost like somebody could be screaming at you, and you're looking at them going, wow, thank you. You know, yeah. Yeah, you know, because you could feel, he says, wow, I could feel that no matter what you're saying or doing, I'm at peace, all right? I might have had a quick reaction, but then I remembered. Not my will, but thine be done, all right? And you come right back into this state of peace. And as Gurdjieff and Uspensky or even Joel Goldsmith would say, we cannot comprehend the essence of God as we are. It's almost like asking the fish again, tell me about the vastness of the ocean. The fish will go, oh, the ocean. I don't know. It's huge. Okay? So it's the same idea. We're trying to comprehend this idea called God. But quantum physics is doing a good job of breaking it down to where we can get some kind of understanding that we do live and breathe and have our being in these ethers that we inhale and exhale and live in. Okay? And this is just a little side commercial, right? One thing that Deepak said is that, you know, when you inhale and exhale, when you exhale, you're actually exhaling some of your cellular structure, some of your cells from your body. So in this room, we are inhaling and exhaling each other's cells, which truly makes us one. Just hope you all brush your teeth before you came in this morning. So we are, in fact, at any particular point in our lives, the sum total of our understanding up to that point in our lives, right? Did everybody catch that? Okay. So to quote Dr. Nicole again, a man is his understanding. We have also heard it says, as a person thinketh, so is his or her heart, so is she, so is he. So as we are thinking, we are creating not only ourselves, but we're creating our experience, our life experience. So if we want our life experience to change, we must first change what is going on inside of us. We must visualize something different. Is that maybe? You have to really visualize and hold on to that which you want to move into, which is the whole purpose of the Prosperity Plus class that we're doing after class. You have to hold that vision. I mean, really hold the vision of we win. Because what happens to us, our life, the stuff that's going on in our lives, causes us to hold the vision of what's happening. And because you're holding the vision of what's happening, universal substance, the unified field that you're in, it's impersonal. So it's going to continue to give you more of the vision that you are holding. It doesn't care. If that's what you want, that's what you want. Okay? But if you want a different life experience, you have to hold a totally different vision. Okay? And so we're, in fact, that person. And ask yourself, what do you think about most of the time? Okay, what is your understanding of the reason for the events and relationships that are in your life? Are you able to incorporate these thinkings into the fiber of your thinking to aid you to gain understanding? And that's really the process, okay? Or do you think about the affairs of your life as just one challenge after another? You get what I'm saying, right? Okay, now remember the quote from last week. Problems are just opportunities that have not yet revealed themselves. I love that quote. Okay, problems are just opportunities that have not yet revealed themselves. So many of you tell me that you think about a lot about the lessons that are taught here. Okay, and that's great. But my question is, are you able to remember the lesson in the moment of the adversity? Just like I tell you, my brother, sister, and I, we grew up in martial arts, and you know, we were in New York City when it was gangland America. Literally, all the neighborhoods were you know, so if you have wanted to go see your aunt or uncle or cousin, somebody who's in another neighborhood, you had to have part of your gang escort you there, literally. Or you had to have them come get you. It was just a gang-infested neighborhood. And so, you know, we grew up, you know, I studied martial arts, and, you know, we'd have people come in and they go out and they could, you know, learn to move in the dojo, but when they stepped out of the street, somebody jumped, they'd scream and faint, right? Can you use what you learned in the moment of adversity? Okay? Or do you allow the essence of the lesson to intervene to give you a different perspective of a particular situation? That's what you want to know. So the essence of a lesson enters in. You may react. You know, we're all going to react. But then we have that moment where we go, well, wait a minute. This is what I learned. Let me apply this to what is happening. Okay, so, and the key here is, this is another question, or do the lessons become a burden because they interfere with an old familiar way of reacting to life's challenges? You know what I'm saying? Oh, shoot, this is what I'm supposed to do, but I don't want to do that. I want to do what I usually do. Okay, and that's common. We have to understand that consciousness, we know that consciousness exists in every single cell in our body, right? Every single cell has consciousness. Every thought has a consciousness mechanism built into it, a familiarity. We're trying to change that dynamic, okay? And it takes time because you always want to go back to what you always have been doing. Like, you know, Pam just, you had the permanent thing. Pam has a permanent retainer on her bottom teeth because, you know, she just got out of braces and her teeth have consciousness. And what are they going to try to do? Go back to where they remember they were. So she has to have that brace put on and sleeps with them at the thing at night until all the teeth change their consciousness to where they are now. Okay? So it's the same thing with us. We got to figure out some kind of brace for ourselves, right? That when stuff happens, you know, we say, no, we're moving to another level of consciousness and stuff happens to pull us back. But no, we got to have some kind of brace to keep us in that new space that we're moving into until we change to that is where we are. Okay? So, and I, you know, I do ask you these questions. And I talk about this because even though I present these lessons, I still struggle to remember to incorporate these in certain situations in my life. You know, and I know this stuff. I mean, I know it. It's like always on my mind. You got to figure every single week I got to come up with a talk. So, you know, I know it, but still stuff happens that causes me to want to respond in an old way, you know. So these questions are meant as checking mechanisms for us to determine where we are in applying spiritual principle in everyday situations in our lives. And the Bible, or the Bibles of the world, contain examples and guidelines for recognizing the inner spiritual growth that is possible in every event and relationship we encounter in life. So the Bibles are always talking about, so this particular thing happened, even if you say, whatever it is in the Bible you read, you kind of say to yourself, well, what does that really mean? You know, where is that? What is the metaphysics of it? What's the real allegory in here that I need to see if my life is going through that same kind of dynamic? And an example of this is in the book At a Journal Workshop. It's the name of the book, At a Journal Workshop, by Dr. Ira Progoff. He says, Bibles are teachers of the various meanings and possibilities in human life. Consequently, when individuals come to crossroads of decisions or to points in their lives where they are tested by adversity, they can find not only a deep source of reference, but the energy of re-inspiration in the pages of the great scriptures. Right? And then we said Bibles, because there are many different Bibles. So, you know, it's sort of being aware that that's what the Bible is all about. And in the Hindu Upanishads, is that how you say it? Upanishads? It says, you cannot behold me with thy two outer eyes. I have given thee an eye divine. Okay? And the eye divine is part of our inner technology. So when you look at scripture now or deep metaphysical writings, you might look at them and go, I don't know what the heck that is talking about, okay? Because we're looking at it with what? Our outer eyes, okay? But if you keep looking at it, over time, you will awaken the inner eye because the outer eyes will actually go to sleep. Not physically go to sleep, but I mean they will go to sleep because they're saying, I don't know what this is. And when they begin to quiet down, then the inner divine eye will start to open up and give you what you're looking for. Okay, it's a process that you have to keep working with. Remember in the old, not old days, but yeah. It's when we first came here. So it must have been, we came here in 78. So maybe in the 80s, they had these pictures you would look at and they just looked like nothing patterns. But if you looked at them long enough, you could see a three-dimensional image. Yeah, it's that kind of thing. It's that kind of thing. You have to sort of look at life and you're just seeing what is. But if you look at it long enough and deep enough, that eye divine opens up and you can see the deeper meaning that's in there, okay? So it takes practice and it takes courage, you know? It takes courage and practice to, you know, to be in that particular space. All right, so it is the inner sense through which we are able to perceive God as the only true reality in every situation. And, you know, the beginning of our awakening is being able to recognize that the experience of lack and limitation are not an experience of reality. The experience of sickness and heart, mind, body, whatever, is not an experience of reality. In short, any experience in which we do not feel faith-filled and compassionate is not an experience of what God is. So, yes, we are going to have, the fact is we're going to have certain challenges, right? But in our own bodies, in our relationships, and whatever, okay? But the key here is we have to understand that that is not our true reality, okay? To experience what God is, we must be born again, dying to an old mind and being born renewed into a new mind capable of perceiving the truth. That's why Jesus said you cannot put new wine into old wineskins. You see, he had a lot of little, you know, verses like that. You have to have a new way of looking at it. April was telling us about a great story that was on Facebook about a guy, a man and a woman, you know, relationship, their marriage had reached a horrible state. So the woman wakes up one morning, walks out and says, I want a divorce. So did you read that story? You read that? Yeah. So the man leaves and he gets together with a friend and he's telling a friend the story. And the friend says, do you want a divorce? He says, I don't want a divorce, but I want a new marriage. To the same woman. A better marriage. You know. And so he comes home and he says to his wife, what can I do to make your day go well? Right. And she said, you SOB, go out and clean the garage. So he didn't want to clean the garage. And he goes out and he cleans the garage, right? Next day, what can I do to make your day, you know, go better? It's still in that more arrogant way, go out and, you know, clean the yard. And each day he kept doing this, not wanting to do the things that she told him to do. But he kept up that because he was trying to do what? Create a better marriage, all right? And he kept it up. And after a while, she became softer in what she asked for until several weeks into this. He said, what can I do to make your day better? And she said, take me on a picnic. But he kept at it, you know? So when you want something to be better, you got to figure out what do I need to do to make that happen? And you may be the only one doing the change, right? But if you do it long enough, again, that vibration goes out and it causes the ones around you to begin to change also. You know, in most of our religious lives, we heard about this thing about being born again. And like Nicodemus, we ask how. Well, one experience that you can practice is every time something challenging comes up, instead of asking, what must I do about it? Ask, what must I become? What must I become to get through this situation? In other words, when you realize that there is something about a situation or a person that's causing you to be fearful, it's an indication that you need to be born again, born into a mind, a new way of thinking. So for a moment, instead of wondering what to do about the challenging situations that pop up in your life, take some time to become still and pray for faith and guidance. Now, let's substitute the word feel for pray, okay? If you substitute the word feel for pray, you get a better understanding of this prayer method, because to pray means to stop doing what you usually do and become still until you feel your faith in God overcome your fear. So when you say pray, most people say pray, oh God, please help me with this, and we're going on and on with the agony of whatever it is we are going through. Am I right? Okay. But if you substitute the word feel for pray, what you're doing is you are working to change your feeling about what is happening. To get to a place where you feel the love of God, you feel the faith of God, you feel the courage and the guidance and all those things that you're asking for. You can't just ask for them without giving yourself time to feel them. You get it? Because normally when we pray, we're praying feeling the stuff that we're praying about. So all you're going to get is more of what you're praying about. No matter what your words say, it's your feeling that affects your emotions, and your emotions emote or push you towards that which you want. Does that make sense? Okay. So just think about that. When somebody says, when you think about praying about it, says, think to yourself, no, I've got to get into a place where I feel that which I'm asking for. I feel prosperous. I feel well and whole. I feel love in this relationship. You see what I'm saying? right? So don't just ask, get to that place where you actually feel. So whenever you successfully accomplish this, whenever you successfully let go of a negative emotion and replace it with an awareness and a feeling of the power and presence of God, you have been born again, born anew. This is a prayer process that causes you to die to fear and be reborn in faith. So being reborn is that feeling will cause you to be reborn into that new state of consciousness that you're asking for. Is that? Okay. So just one more. I know I'm a little bit much for the moment. Okay. So being born again or born anew is a process we will do over and over again with each of those circumstances and each of those people in our lives that challenge our peace. You're not going to just do it once and you'll be done with it. You're going to be doing it over and over again. And actually, we have been doing it over and over again all of our lives. Okay? So the next time somebody asks you, are you born again in Christ? Say, yes, I am in process. And thank you for asking me, because by your asking, you helped me to remind me to stay in that process. And so it is. Amen.
Let's prepare for our meditation by singing the song, Amen.